zeal for the house of the Lord, zeal for the work that has to be done, zeal for being a disciple of Jesus Christ, zeal for all the things that Christ calls upon us to do. How do we maintain that zeal? How do we keep that zeal? How do we capture it, make it a part of our lives and also our discipleship, the way in which we walk with God each and every day? How is that done? I know that you've heard a lot of things about Billy Graham this past week, and I know we're keeping the Graham family still very much in our prayers. But I had one story that I would like to share with you about him. When I was young, he came to the Textile Hall in Greenville, the old Textile Hall, which is now the TD Convention Center. And he came there and he was going to speak, and I don't think it was a full crusade. I think he was just speaking on a Sunday afternoon, as well as I can remember. And so our whole family were all excited and everything, and we got in the car after church and we ran and grabbed something real quick to eat and then ran over there so we could get a seat. And we came to one of the outside doors, and all the doors were still locked, and people were lining up everywhere and trying to get in and everything. And then finally they opened the doors, except they didn't open the doors where we were. They opened the main doors. And so there was a large crowd at that door too. So we all stood there, and everybody started going, well, maybe we should go up there. But there was such a crowd, we thought, we'll never get in that way. So we kept waiting at the door. I don't know who in that crowd made the decision to wait at the door. But anyway, we were all just waiting at the door. By the way, the doors never did open. That was not a door they were opening. And so then the crowd finally moved up to the main doors. But by then, the Textile Hall was filled. And so our family got back in the car, and we started to drive away. And just as we were driving past the main entrance, out came Billy Graham. And he started shaking the hands of every person who did not get in to be a part of the service. He took time to do that, even though he was getting ready to preach this massive crowd. And he went out and he shook. Of course, he didn't shake our hands. We were in the car driving away. But we saw him out there, and we stopped for a moment just to watch, and he was shaking everybody's hand for being there that could not come in to see him. I was always impressed with that. I thought, he did not have to do that. He did not. No one would have said, why didn't you come out and shake their hands? Nobody would have expected him to do that. But he did, and that always touched me, his caring for others. And I think that the fact that his message was always receive Jesus Christ, his message was always evangelistic, reach out to others in the name of Christ so that others can know Christ, so that others will know of salvation and redemption, and our world can be a better place. I think concern for others is a very important way in which we can maintain the zeal of being Christians in this world that is not all about us, that our Christian discipleship, our walk with Christ, our walk during this season of Lent to understand more about ourselves at this season of repentance and of self-examination, that we examine that. Is that concern for others my driving force in all that I do? And is it a major priority in my lives? This past week I did the funeral for Jane Craig, and the family was sitting around telling me stories about her. And they said that at one point when they lived in Pickens, they lived most of their life in Pickens, and at one point she was there, and her son is an attorney in Charleston, and his father-in-law and brother-in-law are also attorneys down there, and they were coming up to try a case in Pickens. It was going to be like a week-long case. So her son called her and said, you might, you know, stop by and check on them or something. They're going to be in Pickens all week, and they're from Charleston, all that. So then she made it a point to go in courtroom every day that week and to check on them and everything else. And so on the latter part of the week, she came to the courthouse with a peach cobbler and brought them a peach cobbler. The family always laughed about it, said, and I guess they had to put the peach cobbler through the metal detector to get into the courthouse. And so they were sort of laughing with her and said, why did you bring them a peach cobbler? And she said, they just looked like they needed a peach cobbler. Looked like they needed it. That's concern for others. Maybe that's an extreme example of it. But if we look for the needs of others, we say, the needs of others. That's what Christ wants me to focus on. That's a part of who I am. If we continue to keep that as a driving force before us, I believe that we'll keep the zeal of the Lord as well in everything that we do. It's part of the reason that Jesus drove out the money changers from the temple, because they were there, they were doing what was legitimate, but they were also taking advantage of the people, even the poor people, because of the rituals and different things. People had to give them the money, it had to be exchanged, or give them their offerings, because the offerings they brought, the animals had to be without blemish. And so if you brought an animal, they'd say, no, and you have to buy one from us who is without blemish. And so it was this big money-making thing, which helped support the temple, but it was also not quite right. And then Jesus was saying, you've made my house, my Father's house, into a marketplace. He was angry because they weren't concerned for others. The poorest of the poor were there trying to do this as well. They were concerned with how much money they could take in for the upholding of the temple and keeping the temple going. And so Jesus was saying, no, your first concern has to be for others. The second concern or third concern can be for the temple itself. I think that also, as we look at Jesus and what he did and what he accomplished, he taught us through his life, and as this is an example, that we have to be a witness to our world, to the Word of God, to what the Word of God is all about. That sometimes sometimes you are the only Bible, the only living Word of God that other people will ever encounter. The Word of God. They look to you and hopefully they see faith. And they're able to express what faith is because they've seen faith in your world, faith in your life, faith through your actions. Think of all the main words that we use to describe Christianity: faith and love. Love for others, love for all people. Sometimes people encounter everything but love in our world. And as Christians, we need to maintain the love of God to all people, the love for God to all of God's children, and to express that as well. Redemption. The fact that God says, yes, everyone can be redeemed, can be changed, can be redeemed, can be salvaged, whatever you want to say. This world says, you messed up, away with you. As Christians, we say, no, you messed up. We've all messed up. God is a God of redemption. And sometimes this world needs to see our belief in redemption because they don't see it any other way. I believe if we maintain full understanding of the major points of Christianity, if we live those points, then we're living that Christ in action in the world. And we maintain our zeal for what we're all about. We live in a different way, a way in which others can see, a way in which further expresses another major word of the Christian faith, and that is witness. We're witness to the Word of God as well. We live so that others will have faith, so that others can understand faith, so that others can have that as a part of their lives, and so that they can see how faith makes a difference in the points of life in which life slaps us around, in which we are disappointed, in which we are hurt, in which we are humiliated, whatever, that we know that we have faith in God. God first, everything else after God. Our faith in God being the primary thing that keeps us going when the world says, how can you have faith in anything? When the world sees one change on top of another change and then more changes and everything's changing and everything's different and everything seems more and more frightening, then they look at us. They see people of the faith. Faith not in ourselves, not in humanity, faith in God and how God is working through our lives for the betterment of all of humanity, for the betterment of all people and everything. They look at us as they see us gather at the table, this very strange wonderful, different sort of sacrament. The idea that God is with us and that we partake of the bread and the juice so that we are in communion with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we say, this matters. This matters to us to come and to be changed by this into the person that God wants us to be. That, along with so many other things, continues our zeal, nourishes our zeal, so that we can continue to express the zeal of the love of the Lord for all people, so that we can live in that way, so that others can see that their lives are of concern to us because they're concerned to God. Let us pray.